KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. California Congresswomen Barbara Lee and Maxine Waters join a handful of other Democrats who are going to boycott President Trump's State of the Union address tonight, and that is a major snub. It also got us asking what the thought process is behind skipping the speech. Here's KQED's Peter John Schuller on Bay Area Congressman Mark DeSaunier's decision to walk out before the speech.
DeSaunier says he was conflicted about whether to go at all, but decided to go in the end and invite an Army veteran who was sexually assaulted by a superior when she was in the military. DeSaunier says he's hosting her to help keep focus on the issue, but he plans to walk out before the address because he says he doesn't want to condone President Trump's behavior.
His actions, his behavior towards the rule of law, towards government, towards the democratic process is just the opposite of what I aspire to.
For the California Report, I'm Peter John Schuller.
Now, we are expecting President Trump to discuss immigration, and that will include pushing for a deal on a $25 billion border wall. That number is exactly $25 billion higher than what Trump said U.S. taxpayers would pay for the wall when he announced his candidacy in 2016. Here, take a listen.
I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And I'll build them very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Yeah. Mark my words. Yeah. We're going to build a wall. It's going to be built. It's not even, believe it or not, it's not even a difficult thing to do. And by the way, for the people of New Hampshire, where you have a tremendous problem with heroin and drugs, you wouldn't even believe it. The first thing always that they mentioned to me, Mr. Trump, please do something. We're going to end it. We're going to end it. We're going to end it at the southern border. It's going to be over.
From the Mexican government for $8 or $10 or $12 billion, whatever it will cost, how are you going to make them pay for the wall?
I will, and the wall just got 10 feet taller, believe me. He's got 10 feet taller. I saw him make the statement. We're going to make them pay for that wall. Now, the wall is $10 billion to $12 billion if I do it. If these guys do it, it'll end up costing $200 billion. And we're thinking of something that's unique. We're talking about the southern border. Lots of sun, lots of heat. We're thinking about building the wall as a solar wall so it creates energy and pays for itself. And this way, Mexico will have to pay much less money. And that's good, right? Is that good?
Are you going to direct U.S. funds to pay for this wall? Will American taxpayers pay for the wall?
Ultimately, it'll come out of what's happening with Mexico. We will be, in a form, reimbursed by Mexico, which I've always said.
So they'll pay us back?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yes.
So the American taxpayer.
Yesterday, in a meeting with lawmakers, you said that you would be open to signing just about any immigration deal that bipartisan group of lawmakers sent to you.
Right.
Would you be willing to sign an immigration deal that ultimately does not include funding for the border wall, or would that be a red line for you?
No.
It's
got to include the wall. We need the wall for security. We need the wall for safety. We need the wall for stopping the drugs from pouring in.
That's President Trump speaking earlier this month. While you just heard, payment and size and purpose of the wall has changed many times, President Trump has consistently tied the absence of a wall to increased drug deaths. Well, we did some fact-checking and found most drug deaths in the United States are caused actually by fentanyl overdoses. And fentanyl mainly comes from China, where it is sent by mail, meaning the deadliest drug in the United States is being delivered to houses all across the country by federal workers. That's according to a recent congressional investigation. We're going to go now to Sacramento, where a group of mothers rallied outside the Capitol demanding better maternal mental health care. KQED's April Domboski says four dads spoke to the crowd, too.
Rudy Coronado took a lot of deep breaths as he stood in front of the microphone.
I'm here to try to bring awareness to this disease.
His wife suffered from postpartum psychosis.
I lost my family to this.
She killed their three daughters.
Sophia, Yasmin, and Xenia Coronado, 2.5 years old, 1.5 years old, and 2.5 months.
Postpartum psychosis is a rare condition characterized by confusion, paranoia, and hallucinations.
It wasn't her. It was not her. It was something inside of her.
Coronado's wife is in prison now, and he is lobbying lawmakers. He wants them to pass laws to improve treatment and especially raise awareness of maternal mental health conditions.
Full speed ahead. This is real. This is real. It doesn't get no realer than this.
The other three dads talked about how their wives killed themselves before they could get help. One in five women in California experience pregnancy-related depression. Advocate Jessica Walker says the rates are higher for Latina and African American moms. She went through it herself.
When doctors told me I had depression, I was like, oh no, that's for somebody else. That, you know, only Caucasian women get that.
One of the bills would require doctors to screen for maternal mental health conditions. Right now, it's a recommendation. In the past, doctors' groups have opposed mandates of any kind. So advocates like Walker are gearing up for a battle.
And every single day I'm here, and I'm standing up for every single woman. It happens when all of us stand together, regardless of color, regardless of race, and we stand together.
Before the end of the rally, organizers called for a moment of silence for the mothers and wives and children who have died because of postpartum mood disorders. For the California Report, I'm April Dymbosky in Sacramento.
Support for the California Report comes from the Barracuda Networks. Network, application, content and data security solutions for physical networks and public cloud platforms. Learn more at barracuda.com/products. The California Healthcare Foundation, advancing healthcare that works for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems.
And that's the California Report for Tuesday, January 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm John Sepulveda. Have a great day.